joined by all sorts of different people on this show, and some of whom actually have many different influences and backgrounds. Niji Adelaye is with me. Welcome, sir.
How's it going?
It's going very well. Niji, you may know because we've been playing his latest album on Jazz FM, a track called Uplift, but Johnny Hart is also here, and he's here regularly. This is, of course, the peak of the show when Johnny Hart comes on to do the finance news.
But big spike in the audience figures. Yeah.
We've actually discovered that Niji has a background in working in finance. Yeah. Is that right, Niji?
So yes.
What was that all about?
So I used to work in finance for 2 years. I used to work covering some regional banks.
We won't hold it against you.
No, please don't.
We'll test your if you still got it on the finance stakes in just a minute. And we're going to get to talk about your new album and the show tomorrow, Pizza Express.
Yes, next to tomorrow night, Pizza Express.
Is it going to be full of former bankers and current bankers?
Well, I've got some ex-friends. Well, ex-friends. I've got some friends from my old place of work that are coming now, for sure. No bankers, though.
Niji, true Brit in the house. So, yes, the Business Breakfast returns tomorrow morning at 6 until 6:30, right before Jamie Crick and the Jazz FM Breakfast, taking a look at the world of business and finance ahead. It's important times right now, Johnny Hart. The autumn statement is about to be dropped by George Osborne.
Yeah.
You have the latest.
Yeah, well, George Osborne is just about to get to his feet and deliver this much-awaited autumn statement and spending review. There is a mere £4 trillion of taxpayers' money at stake. It's a mini budget of sorts and a very important moment for the Chancellor, both economically and politically. £1 million lost the year before. And finally, mortgage borrowing has grown to its strongest level in 7 years. That, according to the British Bankers Association, borrowing last month up by a quarter on the same period a year ago to £12.9 billion. To the FTSE,
which is up 53 points at 6,330.
I think you got the job.
Still got it.
He's
still there. But then he's now turned to the salvation that it is, the keys of jazz.
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
That's the latest, Chris. I'll give you more later.
Thank you.
Direct from the city with CMC Markets,
a leader in online financial trading.
Not bad there on the old Joanna. Niji Adelaye, we've already introduced him with his financial news prowess earlier on. Niji, yeah. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's get the right microphone on. We're just talking about that kind of incompetence. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
A story, actually, because, you know, I'm used to musicians sort of being part of ensembles in the jazz world or part of Nijo or something like that. And then you kind of see them coming a mile off. But for you, you just arrived literally on my desk, if you like, with this brilliant new album called Better Days Ahead. And I suppose the biggest question is, who are you? Where have you come from? Because you obviously have musical ability in huge abundance, and you've put together this album. It's a self-invested album.
Yes, it is, personally funded.
Is it literally you've gone from desktop to jazz club?
Yeah, literally.
Tell me more.
I'm Niji Adelaye, and I've been playing piano since I was about 12, I'd say. For me, I had the opportunities at various different stages along my life to do maybe music college, but I decided to go to university and study economics. And after that, I went to work in finance for 2 years. And I was annoyed because a lot of my friends were musicians and they were touring the world and doing amazing stuff. And I was just stuck in the office behind my terminal.
Like playing in known bands?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
So you studied music at quite a good level, and obviously because...
Well, yeah, I did the grades. I did the grades when I was really younger, a lot younger, and I played in a lot of ensembles in my community. But after college, before university, I kind of took a pause, and then I went into education like everyone else did. So, yeah. I was kind of underground, and I was in the music circle that is my circle, kind of smallish. I was just known amongst my friends, so it wasn't really, I wasn't out there as a musician as much.
You've got some concepts behind your music, because I know you sort of narrate and self-interview yourself on the album.
Yeah.
And this is no, you know, trio album or solo piano thing.
No.
The economics of this are not simple. You've got quite an ensemble there. Tell us more about the actual recording process.
So it was the recording process was amazing. I got to work with some really cool friends, some of them that I've known for a really long time. Mike Cuthbert on drums, Jack Polly on bass, Harrison Cole on trumpet, Alex Chadwick on saxophone, and George Simmons on trombone. And it was an amazing experience to just have those guys kind of interpret the ideas and songs that I had. And then once we had the core songs recorded, I then sat down and thought, okay, how can I make this into a really cool story? Using like voice memos off my iPhone, my old broken iPhone 4. and like weird recordings from times when I was in America like a few years ago when I was having conversation with taxi drivers. So yeah,
you secretly recording conversations with New York taxi drivers?
Well, he's in Baltimore. He actually doesn't know he's on the album, so he might come back and prosecute me.
Wow, can you imagine though, if he was a jazz fan, he suddenly heard himself on your album? That would be some weird experience.
That would be. We've distorted it a little bit. So.
Yeah. So you mentioned Baltimore, and there's a cut about being in Baltimore on your album, and this is another thing that sort of caught me off guard, because I actually did think you were an American musician at one point, because your album suddenly arrived and there is an American connection. You spent a few months out there.
Yeah, so after I did a launch in London in Forge in Camden, I got offered to do a showcase in New York. So I went over to New York and did a showcase in New York. And from there, I was like, well, I'm in the States. Where else could I kind of take it? So we kind of went from New York to LA to Austin to New Orleans to Nashville. And I came back 2 weeks ago ready to continue the campaign in London. So
you don't take any prisoners at all.
No,
it's New Orleans, Nashville, New York, LA,
yes.
all the sort of musical centres.
Yeah, that was the main hub. I mean, the main showcase was in New York. And from there, it was just like, okay, where else can we play? So it was often jams or different spots in different nights
all
in
right.
the city. So
I have to ask you about New Orleans and you know what happened down there.
Oh man, New Orleans was amazing. It was probably one of the best places I've been to. It was so inspiring. Especially I went to see a brass band called Hot Eight, and they were amazing. I went to see a pianist called Alan
Toussaint.
Just passed away. Yeah, so that would have been maybe his last few performances that I caught at a festival there.
Going in at the highest level there.
Yeah.
Alan Toussaint.
And
Hot Eight, of course, they've been here just recently. And
amazing.
On
they
the
were
station
absolutely
lot.
Phenomenal. They
Did you get
so
to jam along in New Orleans with a lot of musicians?
Unfortunately, not with other musicians, but I did meet a pianist who was playing in a hotel somewhere, and I was just there with a friend. And he finished his set, and I was like, you know what? I feel like playing. So,
you get on.
I got on, and the tip bucket came out, and I was getting tips. So.
Yeah. Interestingly, you've got your influences. I mean, you know, most musicians will cite the blues or great musicians or whatever. Your influences go really broad.
Yeah.
Bit of grime in there.
Yeah.
There's... You know, man's them. Tell me about your grime collection. Who's in?
Oh, who am I listening to grime-wise at the moment? I mean, I'm definitely checking out a guy called A2, recommended by a friend, and Stormzy's doing really well at the moment, actually.
Stormzy.
And you can't ignore Skepta.
Grime names.
You can't... Skepta's doing amazing. He's doing amazing at the moment.
Oh, so. It sounds like I'm talking to my son here, who also broke his phone just now and just texted me.
Don't get him a new one.
So, I mean, it would be kind of interesting if you managed to, like, rope some of these grime guys into doing, you know, the jazz that you're doing. I just heard Ice-T at the Barbican doing a jazz thing, and it was
wow.
a real clash of cultures, and it was really interesting because it just fitted perfectly. How about that as an idea?
That is a great idea.
Skepta, you out there?
If you're listening, Skepta,
ready for
come,
some
let's,
jazz.
Let's collaborate. I'll reach out to you. Let's collaborate.
Ah, that's brilliant. And Herbie Hancock, I'm sure, is an influence on you, because there's a
massively.
Cut on your album called Sonic Hancock.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember listening to Herbie when I was, you know, 13, 14, while I was still in school. Songs like Dolphin Dance, yeah, they were massive influences on me. So, yeah, and even his latest stuff with the Headhunters, and it was definitely a big influence. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the Late Show tomorrow at the Pizza Express, 10 o'clock, you'll be playing there with...
Yes.
How many band members you got with
you? So I've got my entire band, and we've just had an addition to my band, a percussionist, and she's a female, so which should be very interesting.
She's a female, like that. that's a kind of obvious statement.
Really obvious.
Come and see Niji Adelaide, Pizza Express in Soho tomorrow night. That's the later show at 10 o'clock, and you'll see something special. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having
me. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
This is Strawberry Sunshine from the album Better Days Ahead.
Yes.